I want to draw your attention this morning to the Gospel according to Matthew in the 18th chapter. I want to read the last several verses of this chapter, verses 23 through 35. If you're reading along with us, Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. The scripture says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay him all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." I don't know about you, when you read through those verses, I feel that as I read through them, that the Lord has blessed me to have an understanding of what the Lord is teaching His disciples and apostles here in those verses. But at the same time, as we see the very straightforward teaching that is contained in those verses, it's probably one of the harder ones to exercise ourselves. It's easy to understand, but it's harder to exercise. You know, one of the challenges of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only understanding what the Lord teaches us concerning His doctrine, but taking that doctrine and applying it to our walk with Him. That's one of the hardest challenges. It's not easy to do. But by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His providential hand upon us, we can do that. We can take the doctrinal blessings that the Lord has given His church and not only become wiser in our knowledge of God, but we can become better disciples. In other words, we can become more like Jesus. We can be more like Him. You know, context is critical to understanding what this lesson is about. It's the same anywhere in Scripture, but it's certainly important here. Matthew chapter 18, the whole chapter, the context of the whole chapter is concerning blessed fellowship in the kingdom of God. From the beginning all the way until the end, the context of Matthew chapter 18 is enjoying blessed fellowship, profitable fellowship in the kingdom of God. Going all the way back to the beginning of the chapter, the scripture says, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." He's teaching the disciples about the way to enjoy blessed fellowship, not only with our Father, but with one another here in this world. And this teaching is no different. And if the Lord will be with us today, I want to break this particular parable. The world would term it as the parable of the unforgiving servant into three different parts. And the first part is contained all the way contained in the verses 23 through 27, and that is the king's first dealing with the servant. The king's first dealing with the servant. What do we read here is that the Lord is teaching this particular parable because the Apostle Peter has asked him, following up the Lord's teaching upon how to deal with error in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord says, if thy brother trespass against thee, you go and you tell him his fault between thee and thee alone. And if he will not hear thee, take one or two with thee. And if he will not hear them, then tell it unto the church. And if he will not hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. You know, we were blessed to be in the home of someone a couple of weeks ago who said that she can remember growing up as a little child that during their conference meetings, they would meet on Saturday for conference, that their pastor would take, she said, what she can remember as a child takes, she said it seemed like forever, every single conference he would go through the teachings of that particular portion of Scripture from Matthew chapter 18. And she said she began to not look forward to going to conference because of it. But she said she looks back on it now and how good that was for that pastor to take that time and go through those teachings that are contained in those particular verses. And so what do we have there? We have how to deal with someone who has offended you in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord shows us how to deal with that. And he follows up that particular teaching with the Apostle Peter asking, how oft shall I forgive my brother? Till seven times? And the Lord says, till 70 times seven. That's contained right before this parable that the Lord speaks unto his disciples who are gathered before him, those who have come to his feet to learn. And he says that a certain king, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. He said, my kingdom. And he says, we said, well, it's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Is that eternal heaven? No. The kingdom of heaven in context here is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom that he's left here for us in this world. It's the kingdom that he's instructing his disciples unto. Remember, the context is critical. The church is following up a teaching on the church. You know, the specific mention there of the church, he says, go and tell it unto the church. What is the church of the Lord? It's the body of believers. It's not the sticks and stones. He said, don't go and tell it to the sticks and stones. Tell it unto the body of believers. And that's the context here. And he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And oh, how true that is still today. Our king, our heavenly Father, is still taking account of his servants today. I am thankful to be a part of a church that I believe that the Lord is still overseeing and taking account of the ones who should be, if they haven't taken on the title of servants yet, it'd be a good idea to start today and say, I want to serve in the kingdom of God. That our Lord in heaven is still taking account of the activities in the kingdom of heaven under the context here. He says there's a certain king that began to take account of his servants. The Scripture teaches us two chapters previous in Matthew chapter 16. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Our King in heaven is still overseeing the church. You know, you say, well, how often sometimes we wonder why he doesn't immediately do certain things that we think ought to be done. You know, there's certain things that we may be trying to do right, and maybe we don't see a manifest blessing immediately from our Father which is in heaven. Sometimes we think that somebody's doing something wrong. Why don't we see immediately the lightning bolt from heaven come down if he's still watching over us? Make no mistake about it. Just because our Lord is patient, it doesn't mean he's not still watching over us. Our Lord is watching over and blessing his kingdom still in this world. And that's exactly what the Lord is telling his disciples here, is that the Lord is in heaven taking account of his servants. And the Scripture teaches us that one of those servants owed unto him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. You know, it doesn't tell us what the talent is of. Talent is a weight. If it's 10,000 talents of silver, you know, I'm getting these numbers from, I'm not getting 10,000 from modern day theologians. That's in the Scriptures. But if the 10,000 is portions and weight of silver, you're talking about some 500,000 pounds of silver. If it's in gold, you're talking about up to maybe 2 million pounds of gold. And you say, why is it important for us to know that that's talking about a lot of things that he owes? It's because the Lord here is showing that this servant cannot pay this debt. It's important for us to understand that this servant has no means of being able to come up with that that he owes his king and that he has become in debt of. And you say, how do I apply that to me? I'm paying the bank every month. I'm making my payments like I'm supposed to here in this world. You owed a debt to our Father which is in heaven that you could not pay. That you did not have the ability to be able to come up with what was necessary to pay the debt for. The Scripture teaches us in the third chapter of the book of Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. And whenever you were conceived in sin in your mother's womb, you automatically became in debt to your Father which is in heaven, and you could not pay that debt back. I tell you, have you ever heard the stories of how the church at Rome at one point in time began to collect funds that they would actually go to parishioners, and parishioners would need to bring money with them before they made their confession to the priest to be able to receive repentance from their sins? I tell you how low they brought the atoning death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when they began to think that filthy lucre would buy their way into eternity and buy repentance from sins. No, that won't work. The Lord here is showing His servants. He says, you don't have what you owe me. There's no way that you can come up with it. And praise be to the Lord that the Lord has blessed His church throughout ages past to be able to continue to teach that. That it was not us who came up with the payment, but it was our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came up with the only payment that God would accept that we owed. We don't have in our ability to be able to pay back this debt that is owed to the King in heaven. It's 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. Again, you know, you say, well, maybe if we come up with 500,000 pounds of silver or 2 million pounds of gold. That's not the lesson that is taught here. The lesson that is taught here is that you can't come up with it. You don't have it. This servant didn't have it. This is not another king he's talking to. It's a servant. He didn't have what was necessary. So what did the Lord do to him? He says that you've got to go and you've got to sell all that you have. He's got to take his, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He says, I want to make this right. I will pay thee all. I want to make it right. You ever talk to somebody who feels condemned for their sins? And who knows that their sins have made them, in the eyes of a holy God, to a point where they need to make something right. I tell you, I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed me to come in the presence of ones in times past who has acknowledged that they've done wrong. If somebody's willing to acknowledge that they've done wrong, it's because that the Lord has already dealt with that person. Somebody who is still under the nature that they received from Adam does not recognize that they've ever done anything wrong. They're still righteous in their own eyes. There is no fear of God before their eyes. None. They don't recognize that they've done anything wrong. But here you've got a servant who says, I want to make this right. And how many people in this world are given the discouraging message, if you want to make it right, then you've got to continue to do this and do that. You've got to continue to labor, work, 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 if you want to make something right with God. But I tell you, the precious truth of the gospel is this. Thy sins have been forgiven thee. He forgave him all that he owed. And you say, does that mean that we have to plead in order to be able to grant the forgiveness? No, you have to plead in order for the Lord to open your eyes to see the forgiveness that has already been given. This particular servant here in the eyes of the king pleaded. And he received through his trust of the promises of the king, he received justification by faith. Have we not tried to establish the differences between justification by blood, by faith, and by works at this particular church? And he says that in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this particular servant had with his king at this point. He had peace. He had peace. And you and I can have peace with our Father which is in heaven to know that our debt has been forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, every elect child of God is justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who put their trust in the Lord, they become justified through that trust and through that faith that they have in the Savior. And those who are willing to perform the good works in the eyes of others, they become justified by their works in the eyes of others who see them, who see their good works, and who say they must belong to God by grace. What we have here is that the king has opened the eyes of one of his servants. He's shown him that his debt has been forgiven. He's blessed him to not only be a partaker of a debt forgiven, but to know that it's been forgiven. I tell you, the analogy was given on Friday night over at Wall Midway that you've got a man who has gotten himself in a mess in terms of his finances. He owes money here, owes money there, and he's able to make his payments so far, but all of a sudden some type of ailment pops up in his life, and he's lost his job. And all of a sudden he starts getting letters from the creditors, and the creditors start sending the letters to him. And they start saying, you've got 10 days to catch up, or either I'm going to come get your car. You've got 10 days to catch up, or either I'm going to come and I'm going to take your house from you. And I tell you, a neighbor who knew of his trouble, he went down to the bank and he paid everything he owed. He paid it off. He paid everything that he owed for that debt. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, the bank comes and they knock on the man's door. And they say unto the man, they said, your debt is paid. You don't owe us anymore. Whenever he saw the banker outside, he was thinking, they're coming to remove me from my house. But yet, whenever he opens the door, he receives news that his debt has been paid. And he slams the door in the banker's face and says, that's not true. I don't believe you. Does that mean that his debt is not paid? No, it just means he doesn't rejoice in knowing that his debt has been paid. And the same thing goes with children of God in this world who will not trust that their debt has been paid, that the Lord paid it all because we couldn't. But his love paid for it. I tell you, this servant, he had his eyes open to a marvelous truth this day. And I tell you, if you'll recognize the truth that the Lord has given you and the knowledge of knowing that your debt has been paid, oh, it's marvelous to know because you couldn't pay it. No, you can bring 500 talents of silver. I mean, 10,000 talents of silver, 500,000 pounds of silver, or 2 million pounds of gold. And it won't pay for your soul. The Scripture says and teaches us that a perfect sacrifice was required. And that's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. He paid that debt for us. So we have the first part that teaches us of the king's first dealing with the servant. And that is, in this first dealing, this servant became justified by faith. He left there knowing that his debt was paid. Go with me to the second part of this particular parable, because we learn here of what this servant did with that knowledge in his dealing with his fellow servants. The Scripture says in verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Again, you read through that and you say, well, the question that pops into my mind is, what did he do with the knowledge that the Lord had just given him previously in his experience? Did he take that knowledge of forgiveness and apply it to his own walk? Or did he take that knowledge of forgiveness and become hardened by it? And become puffed up by it? And if the danger wasn't there for any of us to do this, the Lord would have never sent this teaching to his disciples. You know, a lot of people would teach, well, you know, children of God will truly be able to overcome these things. Well, I tell you, children of God can truly overcome these things, but it's not a guaranteed fact. And if the danger wasn't there for us to fall into the trap of a lack of forgiveness, then the Lord here wouldn't have warned his disciples about how to exercise forgiveness if the Lord has blessed you to understand what he did for you. Our Lord forgave you. Not only did he forgive you in the eternal courtroom of God, think about daily how he forgives you for the trespasses that you do against him. If you gather here today under the mindset that you never trespass against God, as the preacher once said, I hadn't sinned in 10 years. If that's your mindset, then this message won't mean a thing to you. But if you're able to see yourself as a sinner that you are, then it'll mean something to know that the Lord has forgiven you of those sins. He doesn't lay them at your charge. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. They're not going to be charged against you. But the Lord has said that because He's done that for you, the same principle should be applied in your dealing with others. Notice, let's go over to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians, if you'll remember, it's almost like it's two separate letters into the church. The first part, the first three chapters deal with doctrine and teachings of sovereign grace, teachings of truth that I pray we still try to adhere to at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. And then the last three chapters deal with our walk using that knowledge that the Lord has given the church. But He specifically charges those in the church at Ephesus. He says in verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And some people would come back and say, "But I don't think they've suffered enough. I don't think I can let go of something that I've got against somebody. I don't think that they've tossed and turned in their sleep enough. I don't think that they really understand what they've done wrong." I want to tell you, you're not forgiving them for what they understand and what they may have done wrong. You're forgiving them for Jesus' sake, because He forgave you for the same reason. God forgave you for Christ's sake. And so goes the teaching of ourselves. And notice, it's not just for the benefit of the person who's offended. It's for your benefit. It's for you. How many people in this world live a life of anguish and hatred and wrath and bitterness because they will not forgive somebody who has wronged them? It doesn't mean that they have to step right back in the room with them and let them slap them in the face again. But it means that you turn it over to God and say, "I know that they've done me wrong, but I know that You as a just judge will take care of it or either relieve them from that charge. But I'm turning it over to You. I'm forgiving them for what they have done to me." And the Lord has told the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, "You do this for one another. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Notice what this servant did to his fellow servant. Was he tender-hearted towards a debt? He had just received knowledge that his debt had been paid. But instead of rejoicing in that and exercising in that, he went to one and he took him by the throat. And he says, "You owe me. You owe me." I tell you, child of God, today, that's an attitude that'll ruin you in the kingdom of God, to think that everybody in this world owes you something. I tell you, the better part of enjoying a better walk with the Lord is saying, "Boy, I owe a lot of people in this world something, but nobody owes me a thing. Nobody owes me a thing." No, the God Almighty didn't owe you eternal salvation, but He gave it unto you. So you should rejoice in that. And the benefits and the gifts that you receive in this world, if you'll look at it from the attitude that I wasn't owed those gifts, but the Lord loved me enough to give them unto me, you'll appreciate them a lot more. How many people, again, become ruined through their bitterness of thinking that things are owed unto him? This servant took his fellow servant by the throat. And he says, you owe me. You owe me. The Lord says, don't you do that in the kingdom of God. He says, you have a forgiving, warm spirit in the kingdom of God. You know, notice, I'm thankful that he followed this particular teaching up right after he established the principle of church discipline in Matthew chapter 18. It doesn't mean that you neglect that. See, a lot of people under the disguise of warmth neglect to exercise the discipline that the Lord has given us, not only in Matthew chapter 18, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. They neglect all of it and say, "Well, it's warm just to forgive and move on." Never really exercise it as we should. But the Lord has reminded us, no, that's not the way it works either. That's not the way it works. Sure, forgiveness means that you move on, but that doesn't mean that you don't address it. It doesn't mean that it goes neglected. He says, "Be ye kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I want to tell you, there's people that I believe that since I've been blessed to be a part of the church have disappointed me greatly. And there's some of them who I had high expectations for in their service to the kingdom, but they've become a great disappointment to me in the direction that they've gone, and that it seems like they're going to walk in with the ways of this world instead of walking in the old paths. But I want to tell you, and there was times that I tossed and turned in my sleep. And it would cause me bitterness towards him. Till I finally just released it. And said, Lord, you take care of it. I tell you, the scripture teaches us in the book of Acts chapter 20. When the Lord called the elders from Ephesus out to him, he said, take heed unto the flocks which the Lord hath made you overseer. Not of everybody who you come in contact with that may be a primitive Baptist. I tell you, that's a direction for ruin if you think you've just got to fix everything you run into. The Lord has given me the charge to take care of the church here and not over everything else. And those were hard lessons learned, but I pray that I never fall into that trap again. He says, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Go with me to Luke chapter 17. Again, to establish the principle of forgiveness by the child of God. Forgiveness unto those that have done you wrong. He says in verses 3 and 4, to take heed unto yourselves. Notice again, I want to repeat this because I want to make sure that you know where I'm coming from. The exercise of forgiveness is not only for the benefit of the one that you're forgiven. It's for the benefit of you. It's for your benefit. The Lord desires to have you walk with Him. And if you're not walking like Him, you're not walking with Him. And He says that you've got to take care of yourselves. Take heed unto yourselves. I don't know how many times that statement is contained in the New Testament. But it's contained over and over again as a charge to the ministry. But it doesn't just end with the ministry. The person on the pew has to take heed unto themselves. And He says, take heed unto yourselves. And what is the lesson after you're taking heed unto yourself? If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Forgive him. You know, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a house for repentance. It's a house for prayer. It's a house for praise. It's a house of love. And it's a house for repentance. I know I've told this story before, but maybe somebody who wasn't here that Sunday whenever I told this story. But I remember before my wife and I joined the church, coming from the world as we had, and never seen the exercise of church discipline in the church. Had no idea what was going on at church that Sunday. But I got there and I saw a young boy walk up to the front of the church that day and told the church something that he had done that had found its way into the newspaper, and it was public knowledge. And he came before that church with tears in his eyes. And he said, I'm sorry for embarrassing this church this way. And one after one, I kept thinking, they're fixing to slaughter this guy, is what it looked like. It looked like they had just brought him out there just to embarrass him. But one after one, brethren in the church stood up and spoke of their love for that boy. And spoke of their forgiveness to him for what he had done wrong. The next week, by God's grace, my wife and I joined that church. Because I saw then, that's a house for people like me. They've got forgiveness and warmth in there. I thought to that point that there's no way that somebody like me could be a part of them. But that particular day, I became convinced that there's love and forgiveness there. There's warmth there. That should be the feeling that ones have when they come to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not cold. Not cold. The Apostle Paul said, I would that you were warm or hot, but you are lukewarm into the churches of Revelation. They were cold. Cold-hearted. As if they had never done any wrong. I tell you, God forbid that be our attitude at the Lord, at the house of God. Again, what is the context of Matthew chapter 18? Blessed fellowship with each other and with our Father which is in heaven. He says, he continues to say, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again unto thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I tell you, that's long suffering, is it not? That's long suffering, is it not? Seven times in a day? You mean seven times in a day? I don't even have that many conversations a lot of time with anybody in my family per day. Seven times in a day, but the Lord says, seven times in a day, if he repent unto thee, you forgive him. You show him your love. The Lord has given you in the new birth the ability to be able to love another. And I tell you, we'd be wrong if we didn't exercise that gift that He gave us in the new birth. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 18. And let's look at the last part of this particular parable of the unforgiving servant. The scripture says in verse 30, "And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." The first part of this parable, you have the teaching of justification by faith. The second part, you have the exercise of hard-heartedness. And in the third part, you have the chastening hand of God upon those who exercise that hard-heartedness. He comes to him, his fellow servants go and they tell the Lord what this particular servant did in regards to locking him up and binding him in a prison. And you say, "Well, you mean to tell me just because I won't let something go from somebody that I'm literally casting them into prison? You bound them in a prison, especially if they've come and asked for you to forgive them and to fail to. You're making it worse. You're making it worse." I remember there was a situation as I was growing up, and I know this is a trivial example, but it's what popped into my mind, and I pray it be because the Lord put it there. There was a boy who was a dear friend of mine who spoke something ill of another dear friend of mine, and spoke ill of his girlfriend, and it got out, and of course we know probably where it went from there. And I remember seeing that boy who had spoke those things come and personally apologize to that boy. And that boy turned his back. And he said, "I do not accept your apology." A few years ago, that boy went home to be with the Lord. But that boy who had apologized to him was there at his funeral. And I told him, I said, and their relationship, it never rekindled. They were best of friends before that. I remember thinking, and I told him, I said, "I sure wish things would have turned out differently between y'all. What happened is that one, he cast that other into a prison. He bound him because he refused to acknowledge his repentance and forgiveness. He refused to. But the Lord here has said that those fellow servants came to him, and he took the servant, and he said that because you have not had compassion on thy fellow servant, that he will deliver him into the tormentors. You know, sometimes I think that the Lord has blessed us to be a part of the church so long that we have forgotten just what it's like to not experience the freedom and the liberty that the Lord has given us in the knowledge of grace. You understand that in the knowledge of grace, the Lord has given you the knowledge of knowing that you've been forgiven. But those who take advantage of that and don't walk as they should in it, they're tormented. It's kind of like we're in the process, if you're following the Bible reading that we're in, kind of like King Saul. King Saul refused to walk in the light that the Lord had given him. He offered his own sacrifices because he didn't think Samuel got there fast enough. He didn't kill the Amalekites as Samuel had told him that he was supposed to kill the Amalekites. And how did Saul spend the rest of his days here on this earth? He was tormented. He thought everybody was after him. He couldn't trust his own children. He was tormented. And the same thing can happen to us. The same thing. He said that he delivered him unto the tormentors. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 6. As we look at the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer in Matthew chapter 6. He tells them in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, of course, we understand there that the Lord is teaching His disciples how to pray. He's not saying, this is how I pray. He said, this is how you pray. But notice the first thing that He follows up this prayer with and goes into more depth with, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I'm not making the accusation today that the portion of the prayer that says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, is the most important part of the prayer. But I will tell you exactly what the Scripture says, and that is, immediately after that prayer, that's what He goes into more depth on in regards to the model prayer. It's in regards to forgiving your debtors. Forgiving your debtors. Again, you say, they haven't paid enough. Again, debtors means they're still in debt to you, and they may have done wrong. But forgiveness is required. It doesn't mean forgetting. It means that you let it go, that you don't lay that sin to their charge. Think of all the sins that the Lord, that God, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, has lifted from your stead. I have a hope in my heart, and I believe it with every ounce of my being as I stand before you today, that I will stand in front of my God on that judgment day and be declared righteous. And if there's anybody else who has more on their charge than I do, I hadn't met them yet. I'm convinced that the Apostle Paul said that he is the chief of sinners, and I want to tell you, I believe it as I stand before you today that I am, and that the Lord has lifted those through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God forbid that I should not do the same in my walk with Him. I tell you, the Lord has shown us these things. He's given us these truths, and He said, this is how you enjoy a blessed walk here in this world. And we'd be wrong if we hardened our heart and said we know better than Him. We know better than Him. You know, the Lord says that if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That doesn't mean that's not an eternal context. It just means that the Lord won't give you peace. You won't have peace. You'll never have peace. You'll be tormented day and night. There's blessings. There's earthly blessings through doing as Jesus says. And there's earthly consequences and chastening when we don't. And the Lord here reminded Peter. Peter said, how often shall I forgive my brother? The Lord said, till 70 times 7. And no, that's not an exact number. Again, it's the same number as given 10,000 talents of silk, 10,000 talents. It's the same as in the psalmist, that the Lord is greater than the cattle of 1,000 hills. Does that mean that if they have cattle of 1,001 hills, that they're better than the Lord? No, it's a figurative number that's supposed to represent something large. Till 70 times 7. May the Lord bless us as His partakers of His earthly blessings here in this world, to know that there's a time to move on. There's a time to move on. May the Lord bless us not only to move on, may the Lord bless us with a heart of repentance should we wrong somebody. I tell you, there's one side of it to look at this whole teaching and look at the attitude that the servant had towards his fellow servant. But what about the good attitude that he had whenever he knew he couldn't pay when he knew that he had a debt? He says, I want to make it right. I tell you, there's something to be said with somebody who says, I know I've done somebody wrong, but I want to try to make it right. There's a whole other side of this teaching. Not only are we supposed to forgive people who have done us wrong, when we've wronged somebody, we're supposed to acknowledge what we've done wrong. You know, that's a blessed example that the Lord gives us there whenever He says that except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Little children. I can't tell you how many times we have a scuffle that we think is just going to end the lifelong relationship of our two boys. It gets rough. And I keep thinking it's going to be forever before they get over this. And it won't be 15, 20 minutes. And it's forgotten. They've moved on. They've moved on. That's for us to do. They've moved on. Sometimes it's never even mentioned again. It's just they move on. They move on with their relationship together. And what a blessing it is to be able to see that. I, as their parent, I rejoice in that. Sometimes I like to just follow my kids out there in the yard and listen to them, and they're talking one to another in their conversations. I rejoice when they get along. I think we've got a Father in heaven who rejoices when we get along. I think we do. I think He's pleased when we get along. I think He's pleased when we love one another. And may the Lord bless us to have that spirit towards each other as we should. I thank You for Your kind, sweet attention this morning.